And so we're going to honor the Holy Spirit because Jesus did, and so the Scriptures do. And so today we're just going to take a look at honoring the Holy Spirit, His role, His person, and how that affects our living. Right? And so we're going to look at the Old Testament, how that affects the New Testament. So the difference there from that perspective. But in Isaiah 63, I want you to just turn there. And so we're just going to go through some slides here together just to bring you up to this point. We're not going to be here right off, but we'll get to this point. And so remember, Jesus said that the Comforter is going to come. And so he called him a Comforter, a Counselor, the Spirit of Truth. Right, he's going to guide you into all truth. And so he was preparing the disciples. Remember this, he was preparing for his death, his burial, his resurrection. But then also he was preparing them for his return back to the Father. So John records this in John 14 through 16 very heavily. Because they were asking him, why do you keep saying you're returning back? You're going, why are you leaving us? Right, and so Jesus says, it's good for you that I'm leaving. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit will not be sent. So it's good that I'm going away so you guys will have him. So it's amazing truth right there, right? And so Jesus has promised this gift from the Father for our benefit. And so he was preparing the disciples for that because they were like, oh, okay. And so this next phase for them was going to be this role of the Holy Spirit in their life because Jesus was going to leave them. He says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to give you somebody just like me, the Comforter. He's going to be with you and in you forever. Amen. This is an amazing person that we're going to look at and understand his role in our life, all right? So we're getting some still feedback. We're trying to work on that, so just be aware of that, all right? And so we're going to understand and appreciate his person. And so right from Genesis 1, we're going to see that the Spirit of God was already at work. So the name of his title is called the Spirit of God or the Spirit of the Lord in the Old Testament. Even the Holy Spirit, as we're going to see in Isaiah 63. And so again, his role is the divine breath and power of God. So it's very important to understand the divine breath and power of God when we come to understand his role, all right? But that's what he's called. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And so he's equal to God. Equal to the Father, he's equal to the Son. Right, so Jesus was the exact representation of the Father. He says in Hebrews 1:3, then the Holy Spirit, he says, he's going to just be just like me. I'm going to send him to you. He's going to be just like me. He's going to represent me. He's going to testify to me. He's going to exalt my name. He's going to help you guys tremendously moving forward. Right? And so he's going to be just like me. So he's going to represent me and remind you of everything I've told you. Very important for them to understand. It's like, oh man, we're receiving something special, this gift from heaven, right? And so that's what Jesus promised. So he is God. So he's not like this little guy behind the scenes. You know what I mean? Sometimes we attribute him as like, well, he's not the Father. He's not the Son. He's just the Holy Spirit. He's down here. And Jesus is like, no, he honors the Holy Spirit. And so we should as well, all right? So let's look at his work here, the next one. He was very, number one, he's active at creation, filling and beautifying empty places. I love this truth here. So in Genesis 1:2, it's up on the top right. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And who was hovering over the waters? The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. He was governing what God had already created. But it was formless, it was empty, and it was dark. And so the Holy Spirit was kind of protecting and governing over the waters because that's what it was at that point. And so, but here's the thing, he was active right in verse 2 of the Bible, right? And so he's even active in giving life into God's creatures. Notice Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living being. He took him from the dust of the ground, right? And so he goes, and breathe into us, and we became a living being. So remember, the breath of God, the power of God, is able to give us life into this jar of clay, this pile of dirt that's 6 foot tall, 185. I gained a couple pounds this year, all right? But notice Isaiah 42:5. The Lord who gives breath to its people. And notice that this always is in conjunction with each other, and life with those who walk on it. The Lord gives breath to his people and life. So the moment you lose your breath, what? You're not alive anymore. When Jesus breathed his last breath, he says he gave up his spirit. Right? And so the very fact that we have breath, just go, who gives you the power to do that? The Spirit of God. Job 33:4 says, it was the Spirit of God who breathed life into me and made me and became a living being, right? So I remember when Lydia was born, it's like, how can this non-air breather come out and start breathing? Do you ever think of that? It's like, no, Andy, you only think weird things. You know, nobody else thinks that way. So here I am, I'm just right there, and the doctor's like, it's coming. It's just like all of a sudden, you see the head come out, and all of a sudden her eyes open. It's like, and all of a sudden he cleans out her mouth, and breath comes in the room. Starts crying out. And you're like, something holy just happened. I don't know if you sense God in that moment in those rooms, in that birthing room. It's like, oh my lands, the Holy Spirit has got to be here. And I just started to weep. Right? It's like, this is a holy moment. And God breathed life into us. And so here's the thing. If you're still breathing, you're able to breathe. It's because the Holy Spirit's given you the power to do so. He started your life. And he wants to do something special with your life, as we're going to see. Let's keep going. Secondly, he's active in writing the scriptures. So notice what Peter says in 2 Peter, the top right. He says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origins in the will of man. It's not like these guys are like, you know what, I'm going to wake up and write a book for God today. No, it was something special happened to them. Right? And so, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So the picture there was like a sailboat who has its sails up and the wind is carrying the boat along. Right? So the Holy Spirit is carrying these men along as they're writing scripture and they're speaking from the Lord. It's almost like a parent who has their hand over their child's hand to help them write cursive. They don't do that anymore. But my mom used to do that. She's like, here's how you just write this cursive. And she would take her hand and carry mine to help me write. Right? So that's the picture. So notice what 2 Timothy 3:15 says. So all scripture is God breathed. So think about this thought for a moment. We have breath because of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wrote down God's breath to us, his word. So when you speak, you use breath, right? And so here's the thing. If the Holy Spirit has created us and he's given us God's word to reveal who God is to us, then our breath and the scriptures as breath ought to be in sync with one another. My life should be or mirrored the very breath of God to me. That makes sense? So the more you get into this book, the more it gets into you. So don't be afraid to read God's word. It's living and active and powerful. It can energize you, right? Don't be afraid. Then it's active in people's lives, Joseph and Moses. Now listen, Genesis 41 talks about Joseph. And so Pharaoh is talking to Joseph here. Remember, Pharaoh had a dream. It's like, we need somebody to interpret the dream. Nobody could interpret the dream. It's similar to Daniel, right? So God gave them a spirit of discernment and wisdom. And then what Pharaoh said, he goes, there is no one like him. Can we find anyone like this man? Now, this was an old covenant believer, Joseph, right? Had the Holy Spirit upon his life. And this is what Pharaohs were saying about him. This is what other people were saying about him. This wasn't Joseph describing himself. Can we find anyone like this man? One in whom is the Spirit of God. Daniel was described by the king of Babylon as what a person who has an excellent spirit. Is that bugging you guys? That little buzz. All right. Just making sure I can switch to another microphone if it does, all right? I can't. And so Daniel, again, was excellent in spirit. And so did God use him in a special way to interpret dreams, wisdom, and interpretation? Did God give that? Well, how did he do that? It's through the Holy Spirit, interpreting those to speak to the situation, right? And so I love that question, can we find anyone like this man? Let's keep going. And so in Isaiah 63 here, we're going to see these three key aspects: Israel's redemption, the Exodus, deliverance and miracles through Moses, then also leading them in the wilderness. So turn to verses 7 to 14. We're going to read those together. Verses will be on the screen as well. So Isaiah is writing to, again, the nation of Israel, going back to chapter 1. So he's writing this amazing prophecy here, but he's reminding them of the kindnesses of the Lord. Notice he says, I will tell you of the kindnesses of the Lord. And he's reminding them from the exile to the land that that God had given to them. The deeds for which he is to be praised according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for the house of Israel according to his compassion and many kindnesses. He said, surely they are my people, sons who will not be false to me. And so he became their savior. In all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them, talking about the Passover there in Egypt. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old, talking about from their beginning to now. He lifted them up and carried them. He's been leading them and carrying them all this way. Notice verse 10, yet they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So when you read the Old Testament, you're like, I don't see his name being mentioned through all of that. You see the pillar of cloud by day or in fire by night. It's like, where's the Holy Spirit at? It's not mentioned. But yet it was reality, though. So Isaiah is looking back on this moment, and God's interpreting these moments for them to look back on. And so he turned and became their enemy, and he himself fought against them. It's one thing to have God for us, and we love that promise. It's another thing to have God against us because of our rebellion and our grieving the Holy Spirit. It's a very dangerous thing. You follow me? They lost their land because of it. For 2,500 years, they didn't have a nation or property that they could call their own because of their failure to understand what God was teaching them, right? So to whom much is given, much is required, right? And so we're going to see as new covenant believers, we have much to be required of us because much has been given to us, okay? And so they rebelled against him and they grieved his Holy Spirit. So Paul uses that terminology in Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. It's like, well, in what context can we grieve the Holy Spirit? By our very words. Well, how did they grieve the Holy Spirit during the wilderness wanderings? Did they complain and murmur? Did they constantly not trust God for provision over their life, where they were at and what they were going through? Constantly. Were they always going after, going wanting to go back to Egypt? And it's like, man, things are so different. God's like, really? You want to go back there in bondage and slavery? You want to go back there because you want leeks and garlic instead of the manna that I'm giving you from heaven? You really want to go back? And so, but they constantly were worshiping false idols and all the golden calf that Aaron made. It's like God's spirit was constantly being grieved. And so Paul says in Ephesians 4:30 that we can grieve the spirit by the things we say. He says, do not lie. Do not bear false witness. So we can grieve somebody's spirit and the Holy Spirit just by the words we say. You ever done this to somebody? It's like I remember when I first got married. Man, we were so in love. That's why you get married, right? And so I remember, I don't know, it was about 6 months, a year, I forget the time frame. But it was like I said something or did something that grieved my wife's spirit. And it was just like, oh, how could I do that? This is the one I'm in love with. And I was just beating myself up, right? It's like, how could I just, I was like, honey, will you please forgive me? Right? And so it was that moment of understanding, but I could tell my spirit was grieved because I grieved her spirit. And it was just like, man, something's got to be worked out here. I don't want to live in this grievance, so to speak. I want to get that restored and forgiven. And it was just a special moment of growth, right? When those things take place. Those things are going to take place, but it's like we can go beyond that. Amen? We can grow above that. And so he was active in the redemption of Israel. Now let's keep going. Verse 11. Then his people recalled the days of old, the days of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them through the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who set his Holy Spirit among them, who sent his glorious arm of power to be at Moses' right hand, in reference to the Holy Spirit? Who divided the waters before them to gain for himself an everlasting renown? Who led them through the depths like a horse in open country, talking about going through the wall of water that they did not stumble? Who led them like cattle to go down to the plain, talking about their promised land? They were given rest by the Spirit of the Lord. This is how you guided your people to make for yourself a glorious name. And so he's reminding them of these special moments, what God had done through the Holy Spirit. And he asked a great question, where is he? Where is he? So notice the key word in your outline is the word active. The Holy Spirit was active. Amen? He didn't just sit still. He's active. He's giving credit to and honoring the Holy Spirit's work at Moses' hand, the miracles, the deliverance from Egypt, the provision through the wilderness. He led them down to the place of rest. God's work is always going to lead us to a place of rest. Follow me on this point. So 6 days after creation, what did God do on the seventh day? He rested. So God saved them out of Egypt and he brought them to the promised land so they could rest. From slavery to rest, owning their own property. Notice Joshua 21:44. So this is what Joshua said. He says, the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their forefathers. Oh, does God keep his promises? But we have to trust God till it takes place. Amen. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord handed all of their enemies over to them. But the Lord gave them rest. Jesus comes on the scene, talking to the spiritual leaders, people who are weary of life. He says, all who are weary and heavy burdened, come unto me and I will give you what? Rest, soul rest, a spiritual rest, peace, a joy that's like no other. Just come to me. I'm the person of rest, right? And so in Hebrews 3:4, the writer says, he goes, there's a greater rest that waits for the people of God. That's Jesus' heavenly rest. So we're called to work until we rest. Amen? So you find that? And so the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us and helps us and brings us to a place of rest. That doesn't mean that you're going to not face conflict or turmoil or trouble in this life, right? Jesus promised that, but he says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world, and he can give us rest, right? There's an amazing truth when your soul is completely at peace with God. Does that make sense? You will find no rest until things get right with him, or you get things right with other people. And so there's a rest that awaits the people of God. Let's keep moving on. He was active in making the tabernacle. So he would gift the servants there of skillful use to make the tabernacle, the gold, the articles of gold. So he would fill them with the spirit, it says in Exodus, to make the tabernacle, which represented the very presence of God. And so God ordered all the tribes around the tabernacle so they could point and look at the tabernacle, God's presence all the time. So the Holy Spirit ordered all of these things to take place, and he used skillful workers, it says, to accomplish this work. But it says they were filled with the Spirit of God. So does God still use people and fill people with his Spirit to accomplish certain things for the Lord today? Yes. Here's what's interesting, though. They were active in making this tent that represented the Lord's presence. But guess what? And under the new covenant, where does the Lord dwell? He lives in this tent. And he wants to fill this tent. He wants to use these words in my hands, your feet, to accomplish his work. That makes sense? We can't build something big enough for the presence of God. But God chooses to dwell in you and me. That's an amazing truth. Amen? He's active in the prophets, priests, and kings. I love this truth. And so many times it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. He helped me to speak and deliver God's words. He was speaking for the Lord, the prophets were, right? But the Holy Spirit helped them do that. The Holy Spirit anointed priests to help them offer sacrifices that were worshiping the Lord in an acceptable aroma to the Lord. So they were anointed by the Spirit to do that. Kings were anointed like David and anointed to do the kingly work and fight and all those kinds of things. Now here's the amazing thing. Jesus was the perfect prophet. He was the perfect king, and he was the perfect high priest. All the Old Testament people were not perfect until Jesus came along. He fulfills all of that role, prophet, priest, and king. And so here's the amazing truth. So since we're linked to Jesus, guess what? Who we are now? We are a royal priesthood belonging to the Lord, right? We're to offer spiritual sacrifices to God, not the old covenant. We're under the new. Right? And so we're now prophets and witnesses of him through the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Right? And so, guess what? Then also we're little kings. We're going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years plus. But here's the thing. That's who you are in Christ. You got to realize your position first, then you move and live out of your position. But if I don't understand who I am, I will never live to my full potential. And I'll never use my gifts that God has given me because I see myself as unworthy. Yes, we are unworthy. But Jesus makes us worthy because he sees in us something that we don't see in ourselves. And here's the thing, we can dishonor the Holy Spirit by not understanding what he's saying to us, nor trying to live it out in us because we're afraid. It's an important statement to make. Why is it that we have 30% of the people doing 70% of the work? Hasn't God gifted every Christian? Well, shouldn't all believers then be used for serving the Lord? Can we dishonor the Lord by not serving him? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. And it all goes back to, I don't understand who I am. If you understand who you are, then you would serve. I don't serve because I don't understand who I am or why I'm here or how he's gifted me. And we can help you with that. Next month, we're going to have a ministry fair to where we can help you get involved in community and church stuff. To use your giftedness here and in the community, right? That's what God wants. We're not here just to sing and to learn. We're called to serve too. Right? I just want to see that in just a little bit. Was he active in the life and ministry of Jesus? Was the Holy Spirit active? Yes, let's go to the next slide here. I'll show you. So from his birth, right, the Holy Spirit will overshadow Mary and empower her to conceive Christ the Lord. Right? That's what the angels told her. Then the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the evil one. It said the Holy Spirit did that. It's like, well, why did he do that? Because, remember, he tested the people when they came out of Egypt, took them through the wilderness to be tested. They didn't pass the test. Jesus did. Amen. Right? So it says, even when Jesus started the ministry, when he got baptized, the dove came upon Jesus, right, and rested upon him. Very interesting word, rested there. That was for John the Baptist, though. Because God told John, whoever you see the dove come upon, that's the Messiah. So Jesus, he baptized Jesus, and all of a sudden this dove came upon him, and he was like, you're him! And he's like, yep. Well, I need to be baptized by you, he said. Talking about the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is like, no, this is for your benefit too. So the moment you accept Christ, here's the amazing picture. The dove of the Holy Spirit comes to not just rest on you, but to live in you. To bring you that rest and peace in your life. It's like, oh, I don't have to work for my salvation. I rest in Jesus' work for me. I can rest. Who did Jesus give reference to for his miracles? It's like, did he give credit to his own ability? He says, no, I do these things through the power of the Holy Spirit. He honored the Holy Spirit's work. Remember the religious leaders like, well, no, he's doing them in the power of the evil one, Beelzebub. And Jesus is like, how dare you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, giving credit to darkness when light has done something good. He gave credit to the work of the Holy Spirit. In his preaching, he quoted Isaiah 42, Isaiah 61, right? His death and resurrection, we go back to Isaiah 53. So Isaiah is a huge book to understand Jesus' ministry role. Isaiah 11, Jesus is going to be, again, anointed by the Holy Spirit during the millennial kingdom. So everything that Jesus does down here, he's always in using the Holy Spirit to do it. So the same is with us. Everything that we do should be done in the power of the Holy Spirit as well. Amen. So Jesus is our reference point, right? Now notice this amazing verse, Hebrews 9:14. How much more then will the blood of Christ, now notice this, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may do what? Serve the living God. Jesus offered the once for all sacrifice through the power of the Holy Spirit on the cross. Isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit helped him do that. When he was crying out, Father, where are you? The Holy Spirit was saying, hey, Jesus, I'm here to help. I'm here to help. Whew. An amazing truth. So he's able to use Jesus' blood to apply to our soul and to cleanse us and forgive us from all sin. Good spot for an amen. You missed it, right? Man, setting yourself up, you're all flat. All right, so that we may serve the living God. So once I understand what Jesus has done for me, man, I feel like, what can I do for him? Right? Lord, help me do something for you. Look at what you've done. All the kindness, the mercy, the love, the grace that you poured on me, the goodness. My goodness, what can I do for you? Plus, you've given me your Holy Spirit. So here's what Jesus would do in the Old Testament. He'd constantly refer them, or the Lord would do in the Old Testament. He constantly referred them back to Egypt, God delivering them out of Egypt. Whenever he was trying to rebuke or discipline, he was like, don't you remember when I brought you out of Egypt? You guys had nothing. You were in bondage and in slavery. You had no hope. Yet I came in and rescued you. And I gave you myself. You're my people. And I gave you the promised land. Don't you remember? So Jesus goes back to, and the apostles go back to, not that moment, but to Jesus' moment on the cross, his death and resurrection, and his shed blood. It's like, don't you remember when Jesus died for you? Don't you remember when he suffered for you? Don't you remember when he shed his blood for you? Don't you remember? It's a reference point, right? It's like almost like, how dare you live like you are now because of what he did for you? How can you grieve the Spirit of God when he's done all this goodness for you? Did New Testament Christians grieve the Spirit? Yes, we still do. Do we put out his fire? Yes. But that's where restoration comes into play. That's where confession comes into play. He's able to forgive and restore and replenish and renew our spirit. Remember when David sinned in Psalm 51? He had the sexual sin against Bathsheba. And it took a year for him to repent. And he says these words in Psalm 51. I encourage you to go back and read them. He says, my bones were just drying up. Inside of me was just, there was no rest until I confessed my sin to the Lord. And he prayed, Lord, renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. But then he says, take not your Holy Spirit from me. It's like David understood this precious gift that he had and that he grieved. He says, Lord, I understand what I've done. It's affected me. But please, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. That's the close relationship that we should have with him. That we should recognize his role. And when we grieve his spirit, make things right with God immediately. Just like we do in any relationship. It's an important truth to understand. Let's keep going. Or is that it? Oh, hey, we come to the end. All right. You're like, thank you, Jesus, man. All right. Yes. Amen. Now here's a closing thought I want you to think about as we prepare for communion. Jesus didn't just die and raise back to life and send us the Holy Spirit. He didn't do all of that so you could live an ordinary life. The disciples, when Jesus was around, they lived an ordinary life because they had Jesus. He was doing all the work. When he was gone, they were like, oh my goodness, we're going to have to rely on the Holy Spirit. And then you see these guys come to life in the book of Acts. It's like, what just happened to these guys? It's because Jesus told them, in a few days, the Holy Spirit's going to come. And once he's upon you, you're going to receive power to be my witnesses all over the world. And you're like, oh my goodness, what? Yeah. That's going to take place. And it did. So he was preparing them for that moment. It's like, yeah, I received the Holy Spirit the moment I received Jesus, yes. But here's the thing. There's the filling of the Spirit. Or you just ask him to just fill you to help serve him. And so nothing weird is going to happen, but you're just going to receive empowerment to live a holy life. He's going to start speaking to you about things in your life. It's like, hey, maybe you need to get rid of this over here, this bitterness, This unforgiveness over here, it's got to go. Things that you've been listening to, maybe you need to listen to something a little better. But he's going to speak to you about stuff. He wants to heal this heart of yours. Because he wants to lead and guide you all the way to the promised land. Amen? Now think about this. Jesus says, unless I go, he won't come. Last week we saw there's going to come a time when the Holy Spirit is going to be gone from this earth. He's no longer going to hover over and protect this earth. And once he's gone, the Antichrist will be revealed. So we have this moment in history. Think about this. This hit me like a ton of bricks. We have this moment in history to maybe enjoy the Holy Spirit for how much longer? I don't know. And God has gifted us. He says, this is a promise from heaven, from my Father to you. Amen. How dare we take all that heaven has given to us and live and choose to live an ordinary life? It's like, Andy, I don't want to live ordinary. I don't want to live mundane anymore. It's like, well, that's good. You've come to that conclusion. How do I live every day just in fellowship with him? That's the whole goal. Don't feel like you have to accomplish something great big for God. No, God wants you in fellowship with him first. 1 John 1, he says, we have been saved so that we can have fellowship with the Father and the Son. To have joy there. So once we get this right, this fellowship, this relationship with God right, and understanding who we are and what he's called us to do, then it's out of that that I start to live. That's right. You follow me? That's important. It's out of that fellowship and relationship and joy and peace and empowerment, then it's like, okay, now I'm ready. Amen. Right? Now I'm ready to serve. Whatever you have me to do, Lord, I'll do it. Right? But understand how your gift, we're going to look about that in a couple of weeks, all right? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you so much for your word. Lord, thank you that it always brings us back to your person and work in our life. So Lord, as we partake communion today, which represents your brokenness, your suffering, your body on the cross, your shed blood, Lord, help us to remember that we're also called to suffer too. We're also called to show that greatest sacrifice of love to others. Help us to love others the way you love us. So Lord, help us during this communion time. Lord, forgive us of the big one, grieving your spirit. Lord, help us have better moments of how we talk. Lord, we pray that you'd heal our hearts. That you restore the joy of our salvation. That you'd renew that right spirit within us. Would you just help us stay in fellowship with you and with one another. So Holy Spirit, we give you freedom to speak and search our hearts. If there's anything in there, Lord, that needs to come out and we need to get rid of, just pinpoint that. We give you freedom to do that today. We don't want to live in sin any longer. We want to be free from it. Sin shall not be our master. So Lord, we need your help to cleanse us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.